You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If you're tired of taking off your shoes and relinquishing your water bottle at airport security, you're not alone. Many people feel that these processes are a nuisance. And what's more, says international transportation security consultant Rafi Sella, they don't actually contribute to our safety. Mr. Sella, who helped design the security at Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, joins us now by phone from Israel to talk about the differences between Israeli and American airport security and what makes the Israeli approach so effective and what the U.S. could do to improve its efforts. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Good to be there.
Do you see what the U.S. is going through as the same sort of thing that Israel experienced years ago?
Not really, because first of all, we had a much more severe attack and threat level in Israel than I would ever assume the United States will undergo, hopefully. And secondly, I think that the way we have set up our security response is completely different than the United States. And that is probably the main reason why you have a complete different system.
Did it involve going through a lot of trial and error before you settled on the current system?
Not necessarily. The problem in the United States, first of all, is that the TSA is a regulator and an operator at the same time. And that is something that is definitely wrong in security. You have to have a regulator who does look at the threat level and the vulnerabilities and put out regulations of how to mitigate them. And then you have to have security companies who basically execute it based on the regulation. What happens in the United States is that the TSA is regulating itself, and that's why you see all these ridiculous machines going through airports when nobody has anything to say about it.
To some degree,
that's the first side.
To some degree, aren't we just responding to past threats? The reason that we have to take off our shoes and we can't bring liquids in, only a limited amount of liquids, and it never seems to be consistent as to why this and not that?
Well, that is a very good question, yes. First of all, you always fight the last war. And secondly, you're not prepared for the next attack because you don't have a system. And the system in Israel is basically based on something that we call security circles, or if I may use a term that we are using, is TBS, which is based for trust-based security. Basically, what we are looking at is a needle in a haystack, because 99.99% of the traveling public is just the traveling public. And so you're looking for the one or two or three guys that might jeopardize transportation. And so when you're looking for a needle in a haystack, you don't go and examine every straw. I mean, this is what they do today, which is ridiculous. What you need to do is find a magnet and some kind of screening system that will screen through the straws and find the needle. That's what is done in Israel. We have security circles who basically look for intent. If somebody comes to the airport, he can carry knives and guns and not explosives, but the liquids and what have you. And if all he wants is to go hunting somewhere or, you know, bring a present to his nephew, then what do we care? We just take him along and we take him on the airplane and bring him wherever he wants to go. But if he has a criminal or a terrorist attend, we can find him or her, and we can eliminate it at the source. And that is the biggest difference between what is going on in the United States, where everybody is treated equally, everybody is a suspect, and nobody is caught.
Well, so you don't believe in the full body scanners either, I suspect.
No, the full body scanners is just a great marketing stunt, because it doesn't do any good. I don't want to teach anybody how to circumvent it, but you definitely can circumvent the body scanner. It doesn't give all the information that is needed. And it's not needed because we don't care if people are carrying anything on their body if they don't have an intent to use it.
Well, when Janet Napolitano visited Israel last week to assess your system, she concluded that the Israeli model wouldn't work in the U.S. because of the sheer number of people and busy airports in this country. Do you agree?
Well, she made exactly the same mistake as 1,000 other DHS personnel who came through Ben-Gurion in the last 10 years. What they saw is the result of the trust-based security system at its highest point of operation. Israel is not something you can compare with the United States, not on the threat level and not on the approach to security. But if you take the system, which she hasn't seen or hasn't been explained, which is just the security circles, and adapt it to U.S. Aviation, then all of a sudden you do have airport security, which you don't have today. You keep calling it airport security. You don't have airport security. You merely have an attempt to do aviation security, which also is not real security. In the system that is in Ben-Gurion, if she would have looked a little bit beyond of what is done in Ben-Gurion, but look at the system behind it, she would have concluded that this is a valid system for every airport, not only the United States.
So let's talk about how it works. The first check occurs when someone buys a ticket?
Well, the first of everything is intelligence. You have to have a very good system of intelligence in which you know ahead of time where the bad guys are, or most of the bad guys are. That is something that is not available in the United States, and it is available in Israel. It's a platform, a very sophisticated communication platform that gathers all the intelligence from all the different units and puts it together in such a system that the airports that are relevant to the flyers or the travelers can get information ahead of time.
Go ahead.
That is 80% of the system. The intelligence before is what makes it really a secure system. The rest of it is just the circles. First of all, you have to know who is coming into the airport. Today you can enter every airport in the United States. Nobody knows that you're there, and nobody knows how you got there, and nobody knows what you have in your car. And that is something that is very important to know. There are systems today, for instance, I'll give you a very simple example. If you want to harm an airport and you steal a truck and then you break into a quarry and you steal some explosives and you come with that truck into the airport, if you have a very simple camera system that can do the license plate reading and compare it to a database of stolen vehicles, this is a vehicle that you want to stop.
So that's where you begin when passengers are on the airport access road?
Yes, absolutely. I'm watching everything that is going on at the airport, and I'm looking for suspicious behavior and suspicious patterns. Suspicious pattern in driving, suspicious pattern in parking, suspicious pattern in moving across the terminal. This is what I'm looking for.
Does this also involve profiling?
No, not at all. Profiling, you see, profiling is the top of the line. If you really have people that it is extremely difficult to find out their intent, then you have to do what we do in Israel. They call it profiling. I don't know why they have a bad connotation. What they do is they interview the passengers. They want to find out from behavioral analysis, by interviewing by experts, those passengers who might have an intent to harm the aviation.
There are countries like Saudi Arabia and Syria that won't admit a traveler who has an Israeli passport stamp. Are there stamps that Israel won't allow?
Not to my knowledge, but you know that today, if you come to Israel and you want to go to a nation that won't allow Israeli stamps in your passport, we won't stamp your passport. We'll stamp it on a separate piece of paper, so you won't have the stamp in your passport.
What happens if a security officer sees something suspicious? How long might they detain a passenger, for example?
Of course. What the system does is the majority of the people undergo behavioral screening without them even knowing. And if there are benign passengers, with most of the passengers are, then they just go through very quickly. Some of the passengers that are not really terrorists or bad people, who have behavioral problems like anxiety of flying, or they are extremely nervous because of some personal problem, they might be appointed to secondary investigation because of that. But you very quickly find out that this is the case and you let them go.
Aren't most of the security officers women? Why is that?
No, I don't think that's true. But
that's what I
women
heard.
In Israel, basically, most of the people who are doing the interviewing, or the what we call the public contact, are students who are trained to do that. And because in Israel also we have a lot of women students, that's how you get a lot of them to be interviewers. But I don't think the majority are women.
Does the Israeli system cost appreciably more than the American approach?
No, it costs a lot less.
So why do you think U.S. security seems so reluctant to change the way they do things?
Here in the United States?
Yeah. Well, first of all, tell us about the cost, and then tell me why, if the costs are a lot lower, why American officials are just rejecting this approach when it seems to have been so effective.
Well, we have started to talk to congressmen and senators in December, and we approached them with a program that we call TBS, Trust-Based Security. And what we said to them is that we can actually come to the United States and relieve the TSA from their operational side of operating security in airports. We can quickly, without any cost to the government, get each and every airport to a TBS security system at the cost of what the Congress has approved of $4.50 today per passenger per ticket. That is how cheap we can make the security much, much better than it is today. We can save the country about $20 billion a year, what it costs today, and actually operate it on what we call a BOT, a build, operate, and transfer, by actually using the amount that the Congress has put aside for airport security. I want to tell you something. I don't know if you know that, but you know that people who are not flying are now subsidizing people who are flying, because the current cost, I think, per passenger is about $10. So $4.50 you pay when you buy a ticket, and the rest of the money comes from the budget, which means that the taxpayers are financing flyers.
Has Ben-Gurion, which is the main international airport in Israel, experienced any serious security breaches in recent memory?
Security breaches is a difficult a way of asking the question. Ben-Gurion has about 70 real security problems a day. And they are all being circumvented by the security officers. We have alarms and alerts, and we do train and drill every day all the forces in Ben-Gurion. And that is why, with God's help, from 1978, we didn't have a real incident.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Rafi Sella is an international transportation security consultant, and we've been talking about why the security at Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv is so much more effective than what we have in this country, despite being a lot less expensive. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye. ¶¶